Good afternoon, everyone. Today, I want to show our recent work to see how to build a replicated storage system that can resolve a long-standing trade-off. My name is Yang Wang, and this work is joint work with Lorenzo Alvisi and Mike Dalin. Okay. So the purpose of this system is to resolve a long-standing trade-off for a storage system among three properties, which are efficiency, availability, and consistency. For efficiency, we mean that when a client wants to perform a write, we hope that the write just go to F plus one nodes. Well, F is the number of failures the system can tolerate. And when it wants to perform a read, we hope that it can just read from one node. For a replicated storage system, the F plus one for write and one for read are the minimum you can expect if they want to tolerate F failures. And for availability, we mean that the system should be able to use an aggressive and short timeout to perform failure detection, so that the system will not block long when some of the nodes fail. And for consistency, of course, the system should provide some consistency guarantees to the users. Here, in particular, we mean that a read should always return the data of the latest write. These three properties all seem to be standard properties you would expect from a storage system. But actually, if we investigate the related works, almost all previous systems have made a trade-off among these three properties instead of achieving all of them. Okay. For example, in the synchronous primary backup systems, they replicate data to F plus one nodes, which means they have good efficiency, but their consistency guarantee depends on the accuracy of the timeout. So they have to make a trade-off between availability and consistency by tuning the length of the timeout. On the other side, there's the asynchronous replication systems, which are represented by the well-known Paxos protocol. Their consistency guarantee does not depend on the timeout, so they can achieve availability and consistency simultaneously, but they need to write data to 2F plus 1 nodes, which means that their efficiency is not as good as we want. We just want to tolerate F failures. Why do I have to write data to 2F plus 1 nodes? Okay. And in this talk, I will show Northy how to achieve these three properties, efficiency, availability, and consistency simultaneously to resolve this long-standing trade-off. Okay. So how does Northy achieve that? So first, Northy restricts its applications to a special but useful interface, which is the block storage interface. The block storage interface is really simple. It provides a fixed number of fixed size blocks to the users. And a user request can only read or write a single block. We will show later how does Northy benefit from this simple interface. Okay. And the key idea which makes Northy different from the previous replication systems is that in Northy, we don't insist that all the nodes must have identical states. While in most of the previous replication systems, they want to ensure that. Okay. In Northy, for a storage system, it is fine as long as a node knows which blocks of its states are stale and which blocks are just fresh. That's how we get to the name of our system. In Greek, nosiseuton means know yourself. Okay? In our system, as long as a node knows itself, we can process requests correctly. Okay. Then let's see how to achieve this goal, how to let each node know itself efficiently. So in Northy, we still need 2F plus 1 nodes. I will show why it's necessary. Okay. But to achieve efficient write, we hope to write data to F plus 1 nodes. Okay. That's how we do that. We break a write request into two parts. One part is the data, which contains the block we want to write. And the other part is the metadata, which contains the block number you want to write to, and also the client ID, which has issued the request, and vice versa. Okay. So when a client wants to perform a write, it first write the data to F plus one nodes to make sure that the data will not be lost even if there are F failures. Okay. Then it writes the metadata to all F plus one nodes. This can ensure that each node will know exactly which block is stale and which block is fresh. And in this example, for the node 3, it will know that I just received the metadata. I have never received the data for that block. So that data block must have been written somewhere else. So now on node 3, this block is stale. Okay. Before I continue, I want to mention that in Northy, the size of the metadata is very small compared to the size of the data. It takes 24 bytes of metadata for a single block, which can range from 4K to 1 megabyte in our evaluation. This is important since in this case, the full replication, the 2F plus 1 replication of metadata will almost not affect the efficiency of the system. In the rest of the talk, first, I will show why is the trade-off challenge. I will show that in some more detail, why can't the previous system achieve all three properties, efficiency, availability, and consistent. And then, of course, next I will show how the Gnosis of that and how well does Gnosis perform. So why is the trade-off challenging? One key problem in the replicated system is how do you handle a timeout? If the client sends some request to some of the servers, and if some of the servers do not respond in time, how do you handle that? In synchronous primary backup systems, the answer is that I can continue with the remaining node. In this example, I can continue with one node. This approach is fine as long as the timeout is accurate. If I can know for sure that node 2 has actually failed, then it's fine. But the problem is with this approach is that to make the timeout accurate, I have to use a very conservative and long timeout, which means these systems have to make a trade-off between availability and consistency. And in asynchronous replication systems like Paxos, their answer is that I can add F nodes to the system. Okay. They don't need to wait for the timeout. They don't need to depend on the accuracy of the timeout. So how do they handle the timeout? The answer is that I can send the data to 2F plus 1 nodes and wait for F plus 1 acknowledgments. Okay. So this F plus 1 acknowledgments will guarantee that the data is replicated sufficiently. Okay. And I can just skip the timeout node. Okay. So our question is, can we have both F plus 1 replication for data and short timeout? And of course, without breaking our consistency guarantee. So let's just try that. Okay. We send data to F plus 1 nodes. Okay. So the problem here is still, how do we handle a timeout? Now it's not safe to continue with one node because the timeout is inaccurate. It's possible that node one has actually not failed, so the data is not replicated sufficiently now. It's also not okay to wait for that node to respond because it's also possible that that node has actually failed. So in this case, the wait will take forever. The solution here is that the client can switch to another node. This is not our contribution. This is already ideas used in the previous preferred quorum approaches like TripAxos and ZZ. But the problem with the previous approach is that after the switching, the state of the new node can be incomplete. It may have missed some request which has been sent to node 1 and node 2 in the previous execution. And in previous systems, they want to ensure that all nodes have the complete state. So before they perform the switching, they have to copy the data from node 2 to the incomplete node. Well, for application with a small amount of data, the data copy will not take long, and this approach is fine. But for storage systems which can have terabytes of data, the data copy can take hours, and the system will block here, and this seems unacceptable for us. Okay. So how does Gnosis solve that problem? In Gnosis, the key idea is that the nodes can be incomplete. It does not need to have all the states, and it can still process writes and reads correctly. How does it process a write? Okay, a write is simple because in storage systems, a write is always an overwrite of the block. Okay, so you can just write the block to its expected locations to overwrite its either stale or fresh block. Okay. A read can be processed correctly as long as the node knows itself, as long as the node knows which blocks are stale. So still using this example, if the client wants to read block from that node, if that node knows exactly that it does not have the current version of that block, it will just reject the request and ask the client to retry another node. Okay. And the recovery can be processed correctly also as long as the node knows which block version is the latest version. Okay. Assuming in recovery, the node wants to fetch some block from another node, and while in the same time, the client is writing to the same block. So in this case, node 3 has to make sure that it writes the latest version of block 2 to disk finally. Okay. Then I will show in some more details how does Gnosis work. So in particular, first, I will show how to perform efficient writes and reads when there are no failures. And second, I will show how to continue processing requests when there are failures. As we have mentioned before, in both cases, write should go to F plus 1 nodes, and read can just go to 1. Okay. And finally, I will show how to recover the failed node efficiently. So to achieve efficient writes and reads, the key point here is that data is replicated only f plus one times. Okay, how do we do that exactly? So in the first phase, the client sends data to f plus one nodes. Both of them should commit them to the log and send a reply to the client. Okay. In the second phase, the client sends the metadata through a Pexis-like state machine replication to all nodes. As a reminder, the metadata will contain a block number to the block which you want to write. Okay. And on each node, we maintain a single bit for each block and tells that, do I have the current version of the data? So in this example, node 1, node 2 will say, yes, I have the current version of the data. And node 3 will say, no, I don't have the current version. I just have a stale version. So here I use a blue donut to represent a node with only metadata but no data. And I will use the symbol in the following slides. So, and here the key is that this single bit ensures that read can be processed correctly. Okay. Now how do we process a read? In read first, there's a worker in SDI 2011 called Galias, which can achieve scalable read. They can actually read on exactly one replica. That's exactly what we want. But we add a small modification to make the metadata check. Okay. The client can send the data to any of the nodes. They will check the metadata. If the metadata says, yes, I have the current version of the data, it will send the data to the client. If the check says, no, I don't have the current version, it will send a reject reply to the client so that the client can retry from another node. You may notice a problem here that in this case, node 1 and node 2 have all the data, and node 3 has no data. So in this case, the storage is not load balanced, so it will affect the throughput of the system. Here we have a very simple and traditional way to perform load balancing. So we just divide the disk space into multiple slices, and we distribute these slices to different nodes, which we call them preferred nodes. For example, for slice 1, node 1 and node 3 are preferred nodes. Okay. And in the normal case, when there are no failures, all writes and reads should go to its preferred nodes, which is already load balanced. Okay. And to handle failures, sometimes writes need to go to nodes which are not preferred. So to handle this case, each node needs to reserve some space on its disk to observe such kind of writes. Okay. We call it reserve storage in our system. And our analysis of some of the real-world traces shows that the reserve 10% of the disk space as the reserve storage is already enough for most of the interesting workloads. Okay, as a reminder, all node has all the metadata for all blocks. So here, in the normal case, when there are no failures, for blocks in preferred slices, for the node will have both data and metadata. For example, in node 1, for slice 1 and slice 2, it will have all the data and metadata. But for slices in its reserve storage, it just has its metadata. Okay. So here, data and metadata are also stored in a load balanced way. Okay. Then next, I will go to how the system can continue processing requests during failures. Okay. The key here is that the fully replicated data metadata will allow a node to know itself, which will help in this case. So how to handle a timeout? The answer in NOS is that in this case, I don't need to wait for any data or metadata transfer. I just need to wait for the short timeout. Okay, this is the fundamental difference between NOSI and the previous preferred quorum approaches. Then hand to handle a write. In this case, as we have mentioned before, the client needs to switch to the other node. Okay. And in this case, node 3 will write the data to its reserve storage. Okay. And now it becomes one node with both data and metadata. And the read is handled in exactly the same way as in the normal case. The client can send the read to any node. It will check the metadata. If the metadata says yes, it will send the reply back. If the metadata says no, it will just send a reject. Here, if you look at the second figure, the right figure, now it's also possible that the third node has both data and metadata. And of course, in that case, the third node should reply with the data. Still, the key here is that the metadata allows the node to process a request, especially read request, correctly. And next, I will go to the recovery part. In the recovery, the failed replica comes back, and it needs to catch up with the others. Here, first, I will present that there's a problem in the traditional approaches, which we call the catch-up problem. So what's that exactly? So assuming there are three guys running together, three nodes, okay, and one of them fails, and since the system is not blocking, and node 2 and node 3 are continuously running, okay, they may run for a long distance, and then node 1 comes back. It wants to catch up with node 2 and node 3, but it can't do it. Actually, in the traditional systems, the answer is there's no guarantee for that. If the node 1 is running faster than node 2 and node 3, then yes, it can catch up with the others. If node 1 is running slower, or they have the same speed, then node 1 cannot catch up. This is bad because it will continuously hurt the performance and availability of the system. How does NOSI solve that? NOSI solves that problem by using the same idea of separating data and metadata. In the separate data, it breaks the recovery phase into two phases. The first phase is the metadata recovery. In this phase, node 1 fetches the missing metadata from the other nodes. And since the size of the metadata is very small, this phase is very fast. If you count the number of blocks where you can fetch metadata from in a single unit of time, that number will be much larger than the number of the blocks where you can execute to disk for data. Okay. So here is like, if node 1 catch up, we cannot catch up, we put him in a car, let him drive. So assuming the speed of the car is usually much faster than that of a human being, so it should be able to catch up with the others at some time, and hopefully in a very short time. And then after that, these three can continue executing new requests together. But this does not mean that node 1 can skip the data recovery. It still needs to fetch the missing data in the background to rebuild the durability of the system. Okay. But in NOSI, we can perform the heavy data recovery in background. We can perform it when the system has spell cycles, or if the recovery is really urgent, we can spell a small portion of the bandwidth to do that. Okay. But still, the key here is node 1 is never left behind after the fast metadata recovery. Now we'll go to our evaluation part. In evaluation, first we measure the NOSI throughput in the normal case when there are no failures. We compare NOSI to a Galias system we implemented by ourselves and called G prime. As a reminder, Galias is a Paxos-based block storage replication system which has achieved a scalable read. So in short, they write to 12 plus one node and read from one node. Okay. So we measure the system with micro benchmarks, which contains both sequential and random reads and writes. And we measure with f equals 1, which has 3 nodes, and f equals 2, which have 5 nodes. And we also measure with block size 4K, 64K, and 1 megabytes. And of course, here I just show a subset of the result. And if you are interested, you can refer to the paper for all of them. And the next, we also measure the failure recovery case. So we compare NOSI to G prime and TripAxis. As a reminder, TripAxis is a preferred quorum approach. It sends data to F plus one nodes in the normal case, and if some of them fail, they will switch to the backup nodes, but they will perform the data copy before the switch. Okay. So we measure with two metrics. So the first is how long does the recovery take? And the second is, of course, what is the client throughput during recovery? So first, let's go to the throughput case in the normal case. Okay. So here, I also present the first bar, which is a single disk throughput as a sanity check. And the workload we use here is 4K random write and read. And the y-axis is the throughput, which is measured in requests per second. Here, first, we can see that for write workload, G prime can achieve the same throughput as a single disk. That's because in G prime, the client sends the data to all the node. Okay, so that's reasonable. And for NOSI, we can achieve 40% to 64% more throughput compared to G prime. The reason is that in NOSI, we just send the data to a subset of the node. Okay, for example, with three nodes, NOSI just sends it to two nodes, while G prime sends it to three nodes. So of course, we should get a 50% more write throughput. And of course, we get a bit more when there are more nodes. okay, with 5 nodes. And for read, you can see that we can achieve the same level of read scalability compared to G prime. With 5 nodes, we can have almost 5 times of the throughput compared to a single disk. And with 3 nodes, we can have 3 times. That's because both two protocols use almost the same read protocol. And then let me go to the recovery case. Okay, here I compare NOC to G prime and the chip access. Okay, so this is a time throughput graph. The x-axis is the time, which is measured in seconds. And the y-axis is the throughput, which is measured in megabytes per second. Here, the workload is a sequential write, because we think that for recovery, the sequential write is the most challenging workload. Because during recovery, the client can still write to the system with a very high speed. Okay. To evaluate each system, we queue one server at time 300, and then we erase all the data on that node. And then we restart the node at time 600. And for all systems, we'll use 100 gigabyte of volume. Okay. So first, you can see that for NOSI, NOSI does not need to block when the node is queued, which is the same as G prime. So they can use a very short timeout. They don't need to depend on that. Well, for preferred Chrome purchase like chip access, they need to wait for a long time to perform the data copy. Here, it takes about half an hour to copy 100 gigabytes of data, and the system will block here. And the second, compared to G prime, NOSI can achieve 100% to 200% more throughput during recovery, while these two can complete the recovery at almost the same time. There are two reasons why we can achieve this improvement. The first is that in NOSI, as a result of the load balanced data distribution, now each node just have 2/3 of the data. So of course, you have less data to recover. And if you want them to recover at the same time, you can allocate less recovery bandwidth to it. Okay. The other reason is that in NOSI, after the metadata recovery is finished, which is fast, the new node can participate in processing new requests. So in NOSI, we have 3 nodes to process requests during recovery. While for G prime, we only have 2. Combining these two reasons, we have 100% to 200% more throughput. So finally, I will compare NOSI to G prime to show that in NOSI, the node can always catch up. Okay. So these two graphs are measured in exactly the same way as the previous one. We queue one server at some time, and we queue the other server. We restart the server at another time, and it's a time throughput graph. Okay. We can see that in the left graph, in NOSI, the recovering replica can always catch up. So here, for both systems, we have a parameter to tune the recovery speed and the execution speed. So for NOSI, no matter how I tune it, it can always catch up. You can see that in the graph, the throughput will go back to normal after the recovery, which means that the recovery has completed. Well, for G prime, it's not the case. If we are lucky enough, if we tune the parameter in a good way, then yes, it can catch up. But if we are unfortunate, in this case, if the execution speed is higher than recovery speed, then the node can never catch up. You can see that here, the throughput never goes back to normal. Which is, of course, bad. It will continuously hurting the system's performance. OK, finally, let me conclude NOSI. So in NOSI, we try to apply the idea of separating data and metadata to a block storage system. We apply them in two ways. So first, we replicate data to F plus one nodes to improve efficiency. And we replicate metadata to all 2F plus one nodes to ensure availability and consistency when there are no failures. And second, we also apply it to recovery. We separate the metadata recovery from the data recovery so that a failed node can always catch up with the others. OK, thanks. That's it. I'm happy to take any questions.
Marcos Aguilera, Microsoft Research, Silicon Valley. You started by describing the challenge in NOSI as that of determining the timeout. If the timeouts it's too small, you have premature timeouts, and you cannot use like primary backup. If your timeout is too large, then you have timeouts that are reliable. Then you, if you use primary backup, you lose availability.
Right.
But, well, the question of how to deal with timeouts, I think, has already been addressed. And what you can do is just replace the timeout with a reliable failure detector and just use the implementation of the reliable failure detector, such as Falcon, for example, presented in last SOSP. And then you can use a much simpler scheme, for example, primary backup, to solve the problem. Why wouldn't that work?
I'm quite familiar with that work. I think I think the work, first, the work of Falcon guarantees that if the failure detector tells something has actually failed, it's always correct. It has actually failed, so we don't have that problem. But I think in some of the corner cases, if a node has actually failed, the Falcon will not tell you. That's what I learned from the...
No, that's not true. I mean, if a node has failed, it may not tell you instantly because the detection time is not zero, but after a while, and in the Falcon work, most of the time detection time is less than a second, it's guaranteed that you'll be able to tell that the failure has occurred. Now, there's a problem with network partitions, but right. If you're in a scenario where, in a setting where network partitions will halt everything in your application anyway, so you don't have to worry about that.
I've talked to Josh about that, but I think in some cases, there are cases where we can tolerate and Falcon cannot. I think in particular, they cannot tolerate a single switch failure. But in some cases, like in Google, they put the data on different racks, right? So that it means that these companies really hope to tolerate a single switch failure. So, and I know that they are still working on that, so if they succeed on that, then I'm happy to take that approach, sure.
Any more?
Thank you.